A Cloud of Witnesses, Part 3. John Armstrong, Congressman, United States Senator, Diplomat, and General, born 1725, died 1795. Nor is this spiritual or moral disease to be healed by a better education, a few external transient thoughts. It requires the hand of the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit and belief of the truth, renewing the state of the mind and disposition of the heart as well, thereby leading the soul from a sense of fear of the wrath of God, the penalty of this broken law and helpless in itself, to flee to the merits of Jesus, that only refuge or foundation which God hath laid in his church, and who has made sin for us, that is, a sin offering, that all believers be made the righteousness of God by him. Page 78, Centennial Biography, Men of Mark of the Cumberland Valley, by Alfred Navine. Ernest Moritz Arndt, German patriot, poet, and professor of history at Bonn, born 1769, died 1860. I know in whom I put my trust, translated by Catherine Winkworth. I know in whom I put my trust. I know what standeth fast. When all things here dissolve like dust or smoke before the blast, I know what still endures, howe'er all else may quake and fall, when lies the prudent man in snare and dreams the wise in thrall. It is the day spring from on high, the adamantine rock, whence never storm can make me fly, that fears no earthquake shock. My Jesus Christ, my sure defense, my Savior and my light, that shines within and scatters thence dark phantoms of the night. Matthew Arnold, English essayist and poet, born 1822, died 1818. Try all ways of righteousness you can think of, and you will find that no way brings you to it except the way to Jesus. Attempt to do without Israel's God that makes for righteousness, and you will find out your mistake. Attempt to reach righteousness by any way except that of Christ, and you will find out also your mistake. This is the thing that can prove itself to be so, and it will prove itself because it is so. The Bible and the 19th Century, by L.T. Townsend. To the Bible, men will return because they cannot do without it, because happiness is our being's end and aim, and happiness belongs to righteousness, and righteousness is revealed in the Bible. For this simple reason will men return to the Bible, just as a man who tried to give up food, thinking it was a vain thing and that he could do without it, would return to food. Or a man who tried to give up sleep, thinking it was a vain thing and he could do without it, would return to sleep. Chautauqua, textbook number 8. P.M. Arthur, Grand Chief, Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers. I accepted Jesus Christ some 35 years ago as the only true and divine Savior, and he has been my unfailing friend ever since. I believe the Holy Bible is the Word of God, and that men spake or wrote the Scriptures as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Blessed is he who readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written therein. Sir Edwin Arnold, English poet. Extracts from the Light of the World. Oh, a dear word spoke first to me and after me to all, that all may always know that he is the Lord, and death is dead, and new times come for men, and heaven's ways are justified, and Christ alive, whom we saw die, nailed on the cruel cross. For while I lay there sobbing at his feet, the word he spake, my Lord, my King, my Christ. The cruel cross, the savage nails, the scroll, the sponge, the cry, Eloi, Lama, Sabachtha. Then his death word, it is finished. And the death, and spearhead deep into his side plunged, and the centurion crying, Verily, this was the Son of God. In writing The Light of Asia, I had no thought of instituting a comparison between Buddhism and Christianity, as the critics have generally supposed. The Light of Asia must be regarded simply as a poem. I would not give one verse of the Sermon on the Mount for 20 epic poems like the Mahabharata, nor exchange the Golden Rule for 20 Upanishads. To Dr. Ashmore en route for Yokohama. Timothy Shea Arthur, story writer, born 1809, died 1885. The Bible is the Word of God, our divine truth, and therefore that must be the basis of religion. In the fullness of time, when man was just about extinguishing in him every good that he had received at his creation, and on the eve of perishing, in consequence, the Lord Himself, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, assumed human nature through a woman and came down in the consciousness of man in his lowest estate of evil, and received on Himself all the results and temptations of hell, and by His own divine power conquered the evil and remanded the spirits of darkness to their gloomy abodes. Pages 194 and 195 of Author's Advice to Young Men. John A. Bingham, Congressman, 1855 to 1863 and 1865 to 1873, Judge Advocate at the trial of President Lincoln's assassin, one of the managers, President Johnson's impeachment trial from 1873 and 1885, Minister to Japan. I was instructed in early youth by precept and example of my father and mother. I thereby became convinced of the truth of Christ's teaching and of the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. My convictions on this subject must suffice for me. I will not surrender them to any man. I do not hesitate to say, however, as a strong belief of mine, that Christ, by His living and His dying and His reappearance after crucifixion, brought life and immortality to light. It seems to me not to be a question that Christ of the New Testament lived and will live forevermore. My inner consciousness teaches me that in His discourse on the Mount He is chiefly revealed to be more than a man, and He was and is divine. Edward W. Bok, editor of the Ladies' Home Journal. There are myriads of people on this earth who believe in the divinity of Christ, people of the finest minds and the greatest learning. It is not a mark of intelligence to question divine things. The divinity of Christ is a question of the heart. No one who studies the life of Christ can fail to believe that in Him the world had a being unlike any other man, and His own teachings, His own words, His own life are the best proofs of His divinity. The Ladies' Home Journal, September 1894. John Sebastian Bach, German musical composer, 1685-1750. In reference to his cantata, Jesus mein Freud, his biographer says, In these he discourses with the fervency of faith on the importance of Christ's atoning work. The congregational feeling infused into these subjects as being appropriate to their general dogmatic purport is pointedly applied to the Christian life by the intervening verse, and thus the germ of Protestant Christianity is embodied in this great work. With keen dogmatic certainty, he confines the deepest devotion to Christ. Bach's knowledge of the Bible, as shown by his church cantatas, was evidently as extensive as his acquaintance with hymns. We see from his owning Bunting's itinerum sacra scriptura that he must have tried to realize Bible history as vividly and as picturesquely as possible. Judge as we may the scientific value of such a work, it is at any rate an evidence that Bach did not regard his Bible merely as a repertory of text for lyrical verses or even for dogmatic arguments, but that he tried to make himself familiar with it in every sense. Pages 601 and 267, Volume 3, John Sebastian Bach, His Work and Influence in the Music of Germany, by Philip Spitta.